Malia a few weeks ago. I said, hey, Malia, she comes up to me almost every Sunday and she has either a joke of me or something she wants to tell me. And I said, would you be willing, because I knew she had memorized some things, would you be willing to memorize the passage for our next series? She goes, oh, that'd be great. So she did that. She was 9 years old. She just turned 10 this week. So happy birthday, Malia, and way to go. Yeah. So I would love for all of us to memorize that as well. One of the ways to do that is simply to say it frequently aloud. So I'm not going to give a message this morning. We're just going to say that 100 times together. No, not really. But I would like you to say it at least once. So the words are on the screen here. Would you say Colossians 4, 2 to 6 with me aloud? Let's say it together. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Fantastic wisdom there. And that's the passage we're going to dig into these next few weeks. Just take a couple verses at a time and sort of let them soak into our lives. You now know why the series is called C4-2-6, Colossians 4, 2 to 6, just a way to help remember it. And I'd like you, if you have your Bible, to turn with me, or if you have on your cell phone the Bible app, would you turn to Colossians chapter 4? Also, you probably got some notes on the way, and that's going to help you out because there are some things on there you'll want, and we'd be glad for you to be able to follow along. These words of instruction here in Colossians 4 are from the Apostle Paul. They're written to believers then, and they're also they also help us to fulfill the two greatest goals that the Bible gives us. And you might say, what are those? And I think some of you, you'll say, okay, I know where you're going with this, Jonathan, but here's what happens. A teacher one day comes to, or a person comes to Jesus and says to him, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Like there's hundreds of commandments, which are the ones that we should prioritize? And you might remember how Jesus responds, Matthew chapter 22, and he says, here they are. The first and greatest is this, that you should love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Here's what he's saying. He's saying the entire Old Testament, the law, that's the first five books of the Bible, all the rest of the Old Testament, could all be summed up in these two things. And you hear it coming up again and again in the New Testament. In fact, not only in teaching, but in experience. Peter, you might remember after Peter denies he knows Jesus, it's this horrific failure in his life. And post-resurrection, Jesus is on the shore of this lake called Galilee. And Peter's out with his buddies. They're fishing. It's early in the morning. Jesus calls out to them. Miraculous thing happens. And Peter's like, that's Jesus. Jumps out of the boat, swims in. And they meet, and there's this very tender moment because Peter's failed his closest friend. And what does Jesus ask him? His first question is, do you what? Love me. It's the first and greatest commandment, right? Do you love me? Three times. Now, if I'm being honest, you know what I would have asked him? I said, Peter, do you promise that you will never, ever do that again? Because I was crushed by what you did. He doesn't do that. He says, Peter, do you love me? The second thing he says is, if you love me, then go and do what? Feed my sheep, right? Love the people that I put around you. These are the two greatest pursuits. Love the Lord your God with all that you are. Like, keep him at the center of your life. Number one priority relationship. That he's the one who loves you more than anybody else has or will ever love you. He died for you. He rose again. He comes to live within all of us who put our trust in him. So follow him. Trust him. The way that you would say, I love another person. I give them attention. I listen to them. That you say, I'm going to love him most of all. And then love each person. Every single one matters to God. So reflect Jesus to them. Value them like you do. Seek their best. It's our everyday goal. And you could absolutely say that true success is measured by how we do in these two areas, that when God the Father looks at any one of us, when he evaluates my life someday, I'm standing before him, he's going to say, John, let's talk about these two things. How did you do in these two areas? And so really the backdrop for this series, for every series, is this: how can I love Jesus more, and how can I love people the way he does? So what Paul says here in Colossians 4 helps us to do those things. And first, what he makes clear is this: everything begins with what? With prayer. Everything begins with prayer. The first word here in this section, verse 2, would you say it with me? Let's say that together. Ready, that verse? Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. I'm going to have you keep on saying it, so we just, by the time you leave here, you're like, I had that first line memorized anyhow. Devote your, when you think of being devoted to something, what comes to mind? If you go, I'm devoted to this, what does that look like? The word is defined by that you give a significant part of your resources, like your time, your attention, your focus, to a particular aspect of your life. You're devoted to it. If people were to take an inventory of your life, what would they say that you are devoted to? You might not even use the word, but what would they say that like that takes up, that's an important thing for you? For some, it might be their local sports team. They're like, I mean, you know, this is, I'm devoted to that. They're going to watch, they're going to follow. Some people, they're devoted to their vocation. They're like, God has called me to this kind of job. I'm devoted to what I do. If you're a parent, you're devoted to your kids. They take a lot of your time and resources. You might be devoted to a cause. You're thinking, I want to make a difference with the youth in our community. Some people at Grace, I've watched with admiration, and I'd say they're devoted to caring for a family member who needs extra care for a season of life. Devoted. And we can be clear on this as well, that you can be devoted to more than one thing at a time. If you're devoted here, it doesn't mean I can't be devoted to anything else. We're going to see in a second example of that in the scripture. But Paul says, I want you, among the other things that you would say, this is important for me, he says, devote yourselves to prayer. Make that an aim of your life. Why would he say that? I'm convinced, number one, that has always been the pathway for God to work in a significant way in our lives and in the lives of people we love. If you think back even in the early church, Acts chapter 2, it describes what those first believers were like, and here's what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, that is getting together, to the breaking of bread, and to what? To prayer. So they devoted themselves to four things, and one of those was prayer. Now, if we step back, if we're honest, a lot of us, that doesn't come naturally, right? I'm an activist at heart. I like to stay busy. Mary will tell you I try to fill my calendar too much, but I'm thinking I want to go, go, go. Sometimes I think when I do that at the expense of devotion to prayer, I'm saying I trust more in what I can do than what he can do. But what are some of the reasons that 80% of followers of Jesus say that they're not really satisfied with their prayer life? They would probably say, I wouldn't say I'm devoted to prayer. What causes us to not be devoted? I think for some people, they're just honest enough to say, well, I don't really know how to pray. Like, I have the perfunctory prayers, like before I eat, one of my favorite, you know, Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. What you feed me, I will swallow, right? Or some of you didn't know that like I did growing up, but how about the one, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord. Yeah, you a lot of you pray that one. But you have these perfunctory prayers, you're like, you know, God is great, God is good, and we thank him for that, you know, but how do you actually have, prayer is really a conversation with God. It's knowing that he's the unseen person who's with you all the time. and he has all the power available to him in the universe, and he invites us to pray. Like it's, and Paul is not just saying, you know, like, you gotta do this. I think he's saying, you get to do this. Be devoted to prayer. One of the things that Mary and I found helpful is that I find if I'm just trying to pray in my mind, and that's not always bad. You might be in a meeting, you know, at work, and if you just start praying out loud, this can be a little bit weird for people around the table, right? So sometimes you're praying in your mind, but if I, in the morning, if I'm getting a start to my day and I usually get my cup of coffee, before I do any email or whatever, I say, Lord, I want to have time with you, open up my Bible, and I got my cup of coffee, and I'm taking time to talk to the Lord, and I want him to talk to me. If I do my praying, though, just in my head, I mean, I can start going like, you know, I should probably talk to this person today. What am I going to say in that meeting? Are the Guardians going to stay in first place the rest of the season? Is it all these, can I cut the grass tomorrow? Or I got to cut it today. I wonder what the weather's going to be like. And all these things start going through my mind. Some of them might be from God. He might be saying like, Jonathan, like write this down. I keep a, used to keep a paper journal. Now I have a Google Doc, and I write down things that he's, but one of the things is rather than just thinking in your head your prayers, Mary and I like to talk out loud. And you might think this is sort of strange, but I think it's less strange even in public than it used to be. Have you ever been in the grocery store? You see someone walking down the aisle, they're just talking, and there's like nobody there with them. And then you see they got in their ears, what do they have? They got their earbuds, yep, and they're talking to somebody, you just can't see them. So I say, if you want to pray out loud like you're in the Metro Park, just put in a pair of earbuds, just don't turn anything on, and just start talking to God, right? And they will know who you're talking to. You might go, I'm not doing that. You write out your prayers. You can write out your prayers. That's helpful as well to just focus them, and you'll have a record of things you've been praying about. If you're saying, I don't know how to pray, begin with a conversation with God. Take time to talk to him, express what's on your heart. Listen for his voice. Second reason we might not be devoted to prayer simply because we just go, I'm too busy. Life is full and prayer takes time and energy. And I think we've all seen how good things can get crowded out, right? And I think that's why Paul says, I want you to be devoted to this. Because when you're devoted to something, like if someone offered you tickets for your favorite band or an event or something, you would probably find the time to do it, right? And when we say we have the opportunity to meet with the God of the universe, our Heavenly Father, Paul says, I want you to devote yourself to it. I know there's a cost here, but I want you to have that be one of the focus points of your life. One more reason we might find devotion to prayer difficult, and this goes a little bit deeper. We might have this nagging sense of, I don't really know that it works. I mean, I've been praying for some really important stuff in my life, and it honestly doesn't seem to make any difference. Do you ever feel that way? That you've prayed about something and you've been severely disappointed. You might be there right now and you just go, I've prayed about this. I haven't seen an answer. I want to say you're not alone, number one. Secondly, the psalm writer, David, often felt like that. One of his most common phrases was, how long, O Lord? God, how long? Like, I feel alone, God. Where are you? Have you gone AWOL? And David would, but he wouldn't just take that on his own. He would call out to God, and he would say, Lord, this is what I'm sensing. This is what I feel. And he would pray through it. And often, you read in the Psalms how David ends up, he starts at a place of doubt, or God, where are you? And he winds up saying, God, I believe that you're faithful and you're good. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are what? With me. You're with me. So pray through it. Paul says, be devoted to prayer. There might be some kind of time in the morning that you have. I encourage that. Have a specific moment, maybe a place. But then pray through the day. Lots of brief prayers to the Father. Here's what Jesus says. If you've prayed with me several times, you've maybe have heard me pray these words from Jesus, because for me, they're one of the most inspiring motivations to pray. Jesus is in that passage where he says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Like, just don't stop talking to God, your Father. And then he says this, he says, if you being sinful know how to give good gifts to your children, how much what? More. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now he defines what's good and he defines the timetable. But Jesus says, ask him, ask him. Your Father delights to give. Here's what I wonder. I wonder if you wonder this as well. What if we don't pray? Like, what might we be missing out on? I wonder what things Jesus wants to do in us and for us and through us that may not happen because we never ask. Jesus says, ask, ask your Father. There's so much that he wants to do in your life, so pray. Be devoted to prayer, Paul says. I wonder if you'd join me in just making that a prayer for us this week. Lord, would you help me to be devoted to you in prayer? Doesn't mean you need to pray for 3 hours a day, but what if you said, God, I'm going to take 5 minutes in the morning, and 5 minutes, I'm going to set the timer, and I'm just going to take time, and I'm going to talk with you, and I'm going to listen for your prompts. Paul says, be devoted to prayer. And then he has two descriptive words here. Would you read the verse with me again? Let's read that together. Ready? Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful. I wonder what he means, watchful and thankful. Let's just pause there for a moment. To be watchful, this is a word used in the New Testament a fair number of times. He says, I want you to watch. You could use the word alert. Some translations use that. He says, I want you to be engaged. Then there's a physical component to this. I think it's a very spiritual thing for me to wake up in the morning and to have my cup of coffee in my hand with my Bible and to say that coffee helps to keep me alert, right? There's nothing spiritual about falling asleep while I'm trying to talk to God. And so you might say, I need to walk, I talk to God when I'm in the car. But whatever it takes for you that you'd say, this is what helps me to be physically alert. But there's something else. There's an alertness in our souls. To be alert means that we're ready to hear the shepherd's voice. Jesus says in John 10, he says, my sheep hear my what? My voice. So to be alert means this, that you listen for prompts from the Holy Spirit. Be alert for that. He might bring a name to mind. My wife, Mary, she's super, I would say, alert to the prompts of the Holy Spirit. I have this happen, you know, fairly frequently. I would say from Mary, she's like a step up. And I'll just share one example. She'll often, in her time of prayer, and she'll be writing down names, she journals, she uses a paper one. I'll just give one instance. A couple years ago, she had this person at Grace that came to mind, and Mary hadn't talked to this person in a number of months. And so she just, as she often does, she texted and said, hey, God brought you my mind this morning, and I want you to know I'm praying for you. I don't know what you're going through right now, but praying for you. The woman writes back, goes, I cannot believe you texted me of all the days. Did someone tell you what's happening today? Mary texts back and says, no, nobody told me. The woman texts back and says, today is the finalization of my divorce, and I'm crushed. And your text was a reminder that God has not forgotten me. Friends, when we're alert for the prompts of the Holy Spirit, just a simple text, he'll bring a name to mind and just go, I don't think that was an accident. It might be an action step for you to take. Like, I'm supposed to do something here. Might be something about your workplace. Write it down. Just go, God, I don't know if that's from you, I've asked you to speak to me. And the Holy Spirit might also prompt you to make a confession. Be alert for that. There might be a time where you're like, man, you're praying and you go, that conversation I had yesterday, I did not respond in an appropriate way. Either that was gossip or I made a comment. Lord, would you forgive me for that? God, would you cleanse me? You know, in the book of James, James, the half-brother of Jesus, same mom, different dad, James says this. He says, the prayer of what kind of person? The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So it's not just being devoted to prayer that makes my prayers have power and effectiveness. It's the prayers of a righteous person. You might go, cross me off the list because you knew my past. He's not talking about your past. Our righteousness is never self-gained. Our righteousness comes from whom? From Jesus Christ. It says in Romans 3, now there's a righteousness from God that has been revealed. His righteousness is like poured into my life when I put my trust in him. So when I come and I say, Jesus, would you forgive me? Would you give me the strength to take the right steps? I don't want to just keep on doing that same thing over and over. I need your power to do what's right. And I'm righteous, I'm forgiven in the sight of my Father in heaven. And your prayers take on new power and effectiveness when you've come to that place of confession and forgiveness. You know, you read through the scriptures and you just see numerous examples of how unconfessed sin in our hearts can hinder our prayers. Let me just give you a couple of examples here. One is in Psalm chapter 66, Psalm 66, and the writer says this, verse 18, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would what? Not have listened. Wow. That's pretty serious, right? You can be devoted to prayer, but if your heart is filled with junk, he says the Lord's not going to listen. Or we could go back to James and say your prayers are going to be ineffective and not powerful. So the first step is to say, Lord, would you? How about this one for our those of us guys who are married? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. He's speaking to husbands here, and here's what he writes. He says, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are. She may be, physically anyhow, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should so that what? So that your prayers may not be hindered. Wow. Someone might go, well, I'm glad I'm not married. I checked out. I don't have to worry about that one. The principle is broader here. If you're a boss, a manager, and you don't treat the people you oversee correctly, it's going to hinder your prayers. If you work with youth or kids, somebody else, and you're like, man, I am not a kind person. I don't treat people the way I should. He's saying your prayers will be hindered. And so you say, Lord, keep me alert. Help me to be quick to confess. I want to be right with you. So he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful, being alert, and what? Thankful. Thankful. That's the second word here. What does it look like to be thankful? Practice anticipating what Jesus is going to do. Paul says it again in Philippians. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. So we can say, God, thank you for hearing my prayers. Thank you that even though I don't know the answer to this, you do. Thank you that I can trust you for the future. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your presence in my life. Lord, thank you that you are so much bigger than I am. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for loving me. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. He goes on, verse 3. Pray for us too that God will give us many opportunities. You believe God wants to answer that prayer? When we're available to him and we go, and our hearts are clean, wow. And we pray this prayer and we go, God, would you give me opportunities? Would you give my fellow, you know, brothers and sisters and you opportunities? He's going to do this. So do this. Ask the Lord to give you divine appointments to bless others. What if we all took this posture? If we just prayed each morning, Lord, tomorrow morning you wake up, you say, Lord, this day belongs to you. You made this day, you made me. And I just invite you to lead me today. Let me be a blessing to the people you bring along my path. Help me to see them the way that you see them and to love them the way that you love them. You think you'll hear that prayer? Oh my goodness. You think we might see him work in unexpected ways? Friends, Jesus loves the people around you way more than you and I do. And he's looking for instruments, people that he can use to bless the people that he wants to be a part of his family, or people who are part of his family he wants to encourage. He's always at work. I'm going to tell you a true story about that in just a few moments. But you can start by praying for the people around you. There is a chart on the back of your notes that looks like this. I think you'll see it on the screen here as well. And pick one part of your life, and there's 8 squares there for you. Might be your workplace, if you're a student, your school, your neighborhood. You might go, I don't really have anybody on my right. It's not meant to be like just proximity. It's who are the 8 people that you might say, these are the ones that God often has given me interaction with, people you work out with at the gym. And just begin to pray for them. Pray blessing on them. Ask God for any opportunities he wants to give you to make, you know, to make a difference in their lives. You know what the Lord often does? Holocaust survivor Corrie ten Boom said it this way. She said, we never know how God will answer our prayers, but we can expect that he will get us involved in his plan for the answer. God often lets us be part of the answer to our own prayers. And listen to this. He also lets us be an answer to the prayers of the people that are praying, maybe far away, we've never met. I want you to consider this, that some of the people you work with or that are you're going to write in those squares have a family member praying that they will meet someone somewhere in life that will reflect Jesus to them. There's a grandparent praying hundreds of miles away for a granddaughter who needs to meet someone in school that will show her the love of Christ. I pray that for my own kids. My adult kids live all out of state. If you guys are watching today, I know you love mom and me. Sometimes we just wonder. No, I'm just teasing. But I pray for you guys that God will put you in places on an airplane next to someone that you'll be a blessing to them, or that there'll be a blessing in your life, that there'll be divine appointments, that God will accomplish his purposes. We get to be a part of this adventure that God is, this story that he's writing in the world today. Pray that God will give you opportunities. Paul continues verse 4. Last line we'll look at here. In fact, would you say that with me aloud, that second line? Let's say it together. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. We want to do that, right? That you want to have clarity when opportunities arise. You want to be clear when the news is important. And what better news do we have today than the good news of who Jesus is and how to have a relationship? It's the best news ever, right? This is a matter of life and death spiritually. How a person can be forgiven, how they can be adopted into the family of God, how they can have a life filled with purpose, and they can know that their eternity, they're gonna have a reservation of an address waiting for them in heaven, a home that's gonna be forever. It's gonna be amazing. We have that news. And we pray, along with the Apostle Paul, pray that I may proclaim that news clearly, as I should. You know, it's good to put feet to those prayers, to be equipped and strengthened. It's really the reason we're having this afternoon what's called the Basic Seminar. I'd love to see you there. It's going to be led by our outreach team, who has done a ton of work on that. But you're going to get to be with other people who are from your specific community. They're going to put us at tables in that way, just talk about ideas, best practices, being able to strategize a bit. It's not too late to sign up. 4 p.m. this afternoon, everybody is welcome. I'd be glad to see you there. Pray for clarity. But friends, in the end, here's our key takeaway for today. If you want your life to count, if you want to be a part of the story that God is writing today, if you want to have an adventure of life with him, it all begins with what? With prayer, right? God is at work around us, and we have this opportunity, this privilege to participate in what he's doing. It might be with people we know that are in your 8 boxes. It might be with a random stranger you've never met. Let me close with this true story. Louis is a follower of Jesus who asks the Lord to make an impact through him, and he welcomes divine appointments. He starts the day just going, okay, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm on mission with you. One day, Louis is at the mall, and for whatever reason, he notices a guy on the bench. He's walking through the concourse, and he felt this strange prompt, Louis, go tell that guy that God loves him. What would you do if you felt that prompt? I think I'd probably do the same thing like Louis. I'd go, I don't think that was from God. That feels really weird. And so Louis kept on going, shrugged it off. Goes into another store, comes out, another part of the mall, sees this same guy again, feels this inner nudge. Louis, go over and tell that guy how much God loves him. And Louis blows it off again. Third time. Sees the same guy, a different place, feels the same prompting. He's like, okay, all right, I'll do it. So he walks up to the guy. He goes, I don't mean to be weird or awkward, but I just feel this prompt that I'm supposed to tell you that God loves you. And the guy immediately has tears in his eyes. And he says, this morning, I was at the end of my rope, and I told God, God, if you're real, show me today that you love me. And here you are, a total stranger, delivering that news. Friends, God is a good father, isn't he? He is so good. I wonder how many times does he want to get our attention and go, hey, you see that person over there? Go offer to help him out. You see that person right there? Just give him a word of encouragement. Speak a word of affirmation, whatever it might be. And how many times am I going through life like this, and like this, and I miss, and God's going, hey, Jonathan. Devote yourselves to prayer. Pray for opportunities. And pray that you'll have clarity to communicate in a way that makes sense to the people around you. I wrote out a prayer that we've given to all of our small group leaders, that some of them discuss the message and just apply it to their lives. But I like to close with that prayer and just invite you to pray along with me that this prayer would be one that we can make for our lives this week. Shoot me a note if you want me in, and we'll send it to you. But would you join me in prayer, and just let's ask God to have his way in our lives. You pray along silently as I pray aloud. Lord, I invite you into my everyday life this week. Forgive me of any sin in my life, so that I can be an instrument ready and available to you. Help me to see people this week like you see them, and to love them like you love them. Lord, cause me to be alert to any prompts from your Spirit so that I can be used by you. I welcome any divine appointments you have in mind for me. I pray all of this for your glory and for the good of those around me. Thank you for hearing me. In your name I pray. And we all said together, amen. Amen. He's such a good God, isn't he? I can't wait to see if we really mean that and we come with clean hearts, what God's going to do in these days ahead. If you've got a story to share, feel free to. I'd love to hear it. Maybe we'll share some of those in these weeks to come. Let's stand together and just